From KMXT and Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
The Alaska Board of Fisheries met in Kodiak last week. They bounce around the state on a three-year cycle, judging proposals for changes in fisheries management in the seven state fisheries management areas, plus meetings for statewide proposals. At their last meeting, they examined potential changes to finfish management in the Kodiak management area. Proposals ranged from changes that would enable an expanded food and bait fishery for herring to one that would split the enormous central section of the Northwest Kodiak Salmon Management District into three pieces. The herring fishery proposal hit a snag when the State Department that handles limited entry permits testified that the present permitting structure would not allow it, and the central section will remain in its present size despite the fact that Fish and Game testified it would help them focus their management to better achieve escapement goals. Concerns about how it would alter harvest practices shelved the idea to split it up into three pieces. But the proposal that generated the most drama was one that would provide more fishing opportunity to set net fishermen in the Central District. Prior to the meeting, the Kodiak Fish and Game Advisory Committee, or AC, endorsed a change that would allow the set net fishermen a 48-hour head start during salmon openings. Over the past 20 years, the set netters' share of the catch has steadily fallen while the share taken by seiners has increased. Seiners joined set net fishermen on the AC to endorse the plan to help the set netters. But the head start was whittled down to 24 hours during the meeting in a whirl of negotiations. Then, in a surprise move, some AC members signed on to a letter rescinding their support at the last minute. Here is how set net fisherman Wallace Fields described it.
The advisory committee spent quite a bit of time working for a compromise that was voted in favor of 12-1. And after the vote, we had meetings here at this with the Department of Fish and Game and board members to get clarification from the department. There was discussion about some concern on those two 33-hour openings in June for conservation issues. And this proposal was with RC 34, that language was modified. So now with RC 34, Head Start doesn't begin until July 6th. It's only for 7 weeks out of a 4-month season and goes to the end of August. So late fishing doesn't affect, early fishing it doesn't affect. We got agreement now, we got the language that represents the compromise. And we did that last night. And now, today, I see, and I presented, along with another person from the AC, the minutes from the AC, that said we AC supports this proposal as compromise in this language. Now we have language that even further favors the same fleet, excluding some of that time. And we have members of the AC writing comments that they're withdrawing their vote. That just undermines the AC process. The process is very public, and we make decisions at the AC, and those decisions stand. I have never witnessed this before in my life. I think it's a very bad look. And anyway, I was optimistic. I felt like we'd accomplished what we were trying to do. We're trying to come together. We're trying to mitigate it so it has the least amount of impact, but gives us a little bit of opportunity that we've lost all these years when we couldn't fish, and to try to just hold it together.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund in recognition of the fishing industry, which provides over 58,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907 747-3287.
Seine fisherman Oliver Holm explained some of his concerns about how the Head Start would affect salmon management around the island.
At the beginning of July, they do have fairly defined openings, but that after at the end of the third opening, things get dynamic as far as openings and closing based on what they see. And a 24-hour delay in the Northwest Kodiak District can affect the openings all over the island. The only area that's usually independent would be right around the hatchery. So would it be delayed? It would seem like it would have to delay the east side and the mainland opening also. You'd have fisheries in the Alitak for reds that could be affected, because the department generally wants to open as many areas all at the same time as possible. So when you start looking at the impact on the whole island, it's complicated. It's not simple. And the first three openings maybe is the simplest, but in July. But after that, it's a dynamic fishery, and trying to coordinate with a 24-hour mandated set that first on that same, that affects the whole island, basically. Thank
you. Mr. Mike Wood, hang on, Oliver.
Thanks, Oliver. I guess my question's for the department. It sounds like what Oliver's asking is, if you have to open up a 24-hour opener for the central area, do you have to do that for other areas around the island? Is that what you were asking?
Well, normally they would want to open the whole east side. If they have extra fish to catch in Alitak, they would want to coordinate it so the same fleet is spread out. That's a normal management. And first three openings, it's kind of by the book, except Alitak could be different because of red salmon.
Thank you. Would you respond?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Wood. Yeah, Oliver's correct. We try to coordinate as many fisheries as we possibly can. And this would make it tricky. This would make it difficult. And I would say we would likely try to, as much as we possibly could, coordinate the Sekgilmet only opening before the rest of the areas. But I don't know if we'd be able to do that all the time, given the dynamic nature of a pink salmon fishery and the short notice of either flying an aerial survey or getting some kind of hint of catch breeding effort in some place. You know, sometimes you've only got 24 hours to make a decision. And so, like, while we would probably try to coordinate the Sekgilmet only opening prior to the Seine openings, we just repeat that. I don't know if we could do it all the time.
The board also heard concerns about fish left unharvested and that displacement of effort might cause crowding in areas not affected by the Head Start. In the end, they unanimously rejected the proposal. Here's Duncan Fields, who advocates both for seiners and set netters.
The board really did take a lot of time in deliberations to point out the respective merits of both sides of the case. They did recognize that the set net fleet here in Kodiak has suffered significant declines in market share. They just felt like this particular solution wouldn't necessarily address the concerns that they recognized. But I think the takeaway today for all sides is the Kodiak set net fishery has substantially reduced their market share over the last two decades. And unless something is done to correct that, that fishery may go out of business.
But later in the meeting, the board approved a proposal allowing for changes in gear configuration that could make set net fishermen more competitive, a proposal put on the table by seiners. Here is Kodiak seine fisherman Darren Platt. You were involved in the deliberative process about giving set netters on the west side more opportunity.
Yeah.
But in the end, you did not advocate for giving them extra time at the beginning of the opener. Why was that?
For conservation reasons, similar with the department's concerns, it injects an extra complicating factor into the management plan. Every caveat you add to a management plan that ties their hands in how they can open and close the fishery inhibits their ability to manage for conservation and opportunity. It also disproportionately splits the conservation burden between gear types. I mean, there's just a whole number of unintended consequences that would come out of it. And we do want to get more fish to the set netters. That's a genuine sentiment of the Saners. But you can't undermine the very foundational objectives within the management plan to do that.
Right, and is the point that you're making, if you give them a head start, then they're going to catch their fish, and the Saners are the ones who are going to be curtailed when it's time to look for the proper escapement.
It's not just about them getting a head start. It's about the department, and the department said this during the deliberations, when they see fish, we need to be able to catch them. You know, otherwise, you know, for this town to somehow sacrifice more fish coming across the docks is just something that this community can't afford. So we need to make sure that the department's able to manage in a way that maximizes this community's ability to access our bountiful resources and to conserve our scarce ones.
Now, they did end up going forward with the proposal to reconfigure potentially gillnet gear, which might make their gear fish better. So that would give them an advantage too, but it's not a time advantage.
Yeah, so that doesn't inhibit the department's ability to manage adequately for escapement and yield. So and that was something that we thought, okay, if we need to get a more fish, you know, that's one way of doing it without burdening the management plan with extra complications.
Here again is Duncan Fields.
Well, it's interesting to watch the board balance the equities between the set netters and the Saners here in Kodiak. After we previously spoke, they then took up the proposals to both increase the amount of set net gear, that is the length of the gear, that can be used by set netters in the central section of the Northwest District, as well as with amended language, increasing the amount of gear that can be used in the hook configuration on a set net to 50 fathoms. And as far as we know, the 25 fathoms for a set gillnet hook has been the constant from time immemorial. So being able to increase that to 50 fathoms may create all kinds of new and interesting kinds of approaches for the set net fleet. The increase of the gear to 175 fathoms per permit was intended to allow set netters that do use the 50 fathom hook configuration to keep the same distance from shore for their set net gear. And the intent of the proposal, which actually came from the same fleet, was to provide for incremental efficiencies, additional efficiencies for the set net gear on the west side. So I've texted my kids to say, get out your pencils and your paper and draw new hook configurations and see what we can figure out relative to increasing our set gillnet gear efficiency. So, Terry, once again, I see the board wrestling with the equity issues, recognizing the economic concerns of the set net fleet, and mitigating some of the changes between the same fleet and the set net fleet with this proposal for additional set net gear.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.